All right, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 6. We started this last week. I had too many stories to tell. Didn't get very far. Acts chapter 16, verse number 6. The first part there, first five verses there in chapter 16, we met Timothy, and so they found him, and of course he was in those towns that had kicked Paul out, but he went back to minister to those little churches, the ones who had accepted the truth, and in the midst of all that, he found Timothy, and we talked all about that. Now, this is kind of starting a different idea, a different topic, if you will, in verse number 6. And so they says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So, they had some plans, but the Lord had other plans. Now, wasn't what their plans was necessarily wrong or bad, but God had some plans for them specifically. And so, when we're living and serving in the Lord's army, if you will, we're in his service. There are times when he has something specific he wants us to do, and we need to become to a point where we are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think people have a problem discerning the difference between what they really, 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 really want and what the Holy Spirit wants. They think because I really, 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 really want it, it must be right. And that's not necessarily true. I've seen too many people get married because they really, really, really wanted that person. But there was things that going on that probably that should have thrown a flag in the air there and said, no, this is not a good place to go. This is not, I shouldn't be going this direction. And so we need to understand. So there's some things we're going to learn about here, and we're talking about following the Spirit over the obvious. Now, sometimes, it's just obvious. This is what we ought to do. And it may not necessarily be the right thing. I think I closed out last week with the illustration that I was offered a job to work at a Christian school when I got out of college the first time with a music degree, and offered a job to work in the public school, where I would be teaching music that I probably shouldn't be teaching. Now, I knew how to do it because I went through public school myself, and I could do all that stuff. No easy. And be honest with you, I hate to say it, it was fun. I'm a ham. I enjoyed it. It was kind of a performance thing, and I enjoyed all that. I can't talk real well, but I can sing for a long time without stuttering. I like it, but I really thought I wanted to follow the Lord and take the job in the Christian school, for because really I felt I was called to be in the ministry, though I didn't know whether God could actually use me or not. But then I found out that God uses the foolish things to confound the wise, and I realized that was a good choice. But I didn't know what to do. So I thought if I get my foot in the door at the Christian school at the church, well then maybe eventually I could work my way into the church, which is where I really wanted to be. And I think it would have been a good thing to do, because you know how it is when you're in the school ministry, you're in the church ministry, and you know how it is. It's just the way it goes. But I had Christian tell me the obvious thing to do is to take the job that pays better, which was the public school job. And I even argued with him a little bit. Well, God will take care of my needs. Isn't there? I mean, just, he said, oh, it's obvious. The choice is obvious. You can't take that job. You can't provide for your family on that job. Well, I said, there's other people who've got it, who've been there for years. And they're not sitting on the street. I may not have what everybody else has, but I'll be all right. And he convinced me. I was young in the faith, so to speak. And he convinced me that the obvious thing to do would be to take the public school job. And I was miserable. And it turned out I did that for about 6 years. And then the Lord brought me back to the exact same fork in the road. And I took the Christian school job instead. And glad that I did. But wasted 6 years. The obvious. So following the Spirit over the obvious. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Please, Lord, help me to convey these thoughts. Help me to speak well. Help me to be concise. Help me to convey these. Give me your power as we do this. May your Spirit move. This is something when we're talking about you, Lord, we're talking about your Spirit. We really need to understand that in spiritual matters. We need to come to you in spirit and in truth. And it's not necessarily logical. It's not necessarily the obvious, Lord. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to the point where the things that are of God's seem to be the obvious ones. So, Lord, we ask you to speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week we talked about the Lord gives us some common sense. Real quick. Number one, the Lord often, I got these are already there. The Lord often leads us by a process of elimination. Usually there's only one good decision. I knew that if I took the job at the public school, I was compromising some things, and I should have just, you said, well, that you're going to get a better paycheck. That has nothing to do with it, because my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I mean, when I finally took the job at the public, at the Christian school, I took a big pay cut. I've told you before, it seems like every time I change jobs, I took another pay cut. And I took a pay cut. But you know what? I'm still alive. I still raised four kids. We own our own house. It didn't throw us into bankruptcy. God took care of our needs, sometimes in amazing ways. And so often it's a process of elimination. And too often we try to compromise our walk with God to take the better job because it seemed obvious. But compromising is going to do it. Sometimes the Lord leaves only one door open for us. And so and sometimes it's not the door that's the most inviting or the most appealing. But if that's what he gives you, and it's an honest job, and you're not compromising, take it till you get something better. I mean, see if the Lord, well, watch. Often the Lord says, if you're faithful in little, he'll make you ruler over much. God is looking to hire faithfulness. When I hire folks, I try to hire character. I try to hire character. Not always successful with that, but I try to hire character because that's what's going to make the thing work. Sometimes the Lord only gives a piece about one option. And you say, well, what's the piece? You'll know it when you actually get it. Don't try to convince yourself with it. Don't try to work it up saying, I really like this, so I'm going to get a piece about it. I'm going to try to get a piece about it. You know, I'll be all right. No, don't try to weasel your way in. Don't push the door open. There might be a bulldog behind there you don't want to find. And so, again, number three, too often we rationalize our options to justify doing as we please. Letter B, God did not allow him to go south into Asia, and he was prevented. He was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. That simply means prevented. Somehow he was prevented. We're not really sure. It says he was forbidden. It makes it sound like the Holy Spirit says, nah, you don't want to do that. It's kind of like, again, one of the stories. When I went down to Florida, I candidated a church in Florida. Now, there's nothing wrong with Florida, except the alligators, and the mosquitoes are big as horses. But there's nothing wrong with Florida. There's good people down there. But when I went down there and candidated this church, it's just like I told you. It's like the cloud moved in the desert, and the Israelites were supposed to move every time the cloud moved. And that's when but listen, the clouds did not move when I went to Florida to try out that weekend to candidate. The Lord was not there. It was just like I was totally alone. It was just weird. And yet I wanted to take a church. And God was leading me to take a church. And so I said, well, you know, God will do it. Listen, if he's not leading you, not giving you a peace about it, you better not do it. Too many people get married rationalizing, well, it's this and this and this, so I guess it's okay. No, listen, to be honest with you, I really believe that if you're a Christian and you're walking with the Lord, God will give you a peace about that person you're supposed to marry about, even if they got some issues. Even if they do. We all have issues, you know. But the fact is that God will give you a true peace if you're honest with yourself. Now, letter C, he wasn't allowed to go north into Bithynia. And it says he essayed. He tried. He made an effort to do it, but it just didn't. It just wasn't going to work. It's just like nothing fell into place. He couldn't go. And so it says that the Holy Spirit would not suffer him to do so. Would not give him leave to do it. Just, you know, they thought, well, there's some folks up there that need it, but it just didn't feel right. Letter D. Paul came from the east, so if he can't go north, can't go south. What's left is going west. And so he heads that way, and then so he heads that way in that direction, and that night he gets this vision, and the Spirit confirms in a dream that they need to even go even further west than that. They saw that number three. They had this vision, a sighting. I don't know what it was, whether it was in a dream or whether it was physical or what it might have been. We don't really know. But he says he had a vision. He had a sighting, a spectacle, something that you gaze at, and it made it clear what he was supposed to do. So letter E, God was able to make the calling clear. Remember that. God is able to make it clear. If God doesn't make it clear, maybe you're not supposed to, in fact, you're not supposed to move yet. Unless you're sitting in sin, then God's already made it clear, you're not supposed to sit in sin. So you get out of the sin. God doesn't have to give you some kind of sign to tell you to stop sinning. Fix the deal with where the sin is. But if you're trying to make a good, basically a lateral move from one thing that's good to another thing that's good, and yet you're just not sure, you're just kind of waffling back and forth, then pray for the Lord to make it clear. As I remember being again studying. I had already gotten my master's degree, thinking, well, maybe one of these days I'll be a pastor. And I was working on my doctorate degree, and it was a Saturday morning, and I had already sent a resume up here, but they said, we got 70 or 80 resumes sitting on the table in the office, and we're not going to call anybody in here for a while. We don't even know when, but if we decide to call somebody else, I guess we'll let you know. And he said he had all these resumes from all these different colleges, from all these boys getting out of college wanting to take the church. And I said, well, I guess that's the way it's going to be. So I was studying one Saturday morning, and I was up in my bedroom. I'm studying, praying, get to reading the Bible. After a while, the Lord starts working on your heart, even though I'm just studying, you know, and I start praying. And I was just kind of thinking, I said, Lord, you know, would you just show me what I'm supposed to do? This is not the first time I prayed this prayer, but I prayed it many times. But I didn't give up. Well, he didn't show me, so I guess he's not going to show me. No. I believe that God will show you his will. And I remember saying, Lord, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do here. I said, now maybe I'm supposed to stay right where I am. It's nothing, no reason. It's not wrong for me to stay right where I am. But I just don't feel like it's the right place. I feel like I'm not where I'm supposed to be, Lord. And I said, but if you show me this is where you want me to be, I'll happily stay right here. But if you put it on the billboard, Sterling Walsh is supposed to go to Africa and be a missionary. So help me, I'll do it. I was a younger man then. But so help me, I'll do it. And I meant it with all my heart. I really did. I just wanted to be in the middle of God's will, and I wanted to know that I was where he wanted me to be. And the phone rang. And it was the fellow who was the head of the pulpit committee up here. And he said, I know I told you we weren't going to have anybody in to preach for a while, but I just feel like the Lord wants me to bring somebody in to preach, and you were the first name that came to my mind. would you come up next Sunday? This was Saturday, so it was the following week. Can you come up next Sunday and preach for us? I said, well, I'll check with my pastor. I'm still accountable to him. I got a job to do on Sunday mornings, but he'll let me. If he lets he lets me loose, then I'll be up there. And sure enough, he did. He didn't like it, but he did. And I came up here to preach. And the fact is, it was different than when I went to Florida. It was different than when I went to Jersey and candidated at that church. I'm just telling you, I really believe that if you really, really, really want to know God's word and his will for your life, if you will give yourself over, surrender to him, I really believe he'll let you know. And if he hasn't let you know yet, then don't go anywhere. Don't get impatient. Don't get impatient. Letter F, trust that he will make it clear. God is big enough to make it clear. If he's not big enough to make it clear, then he's not a God you want to go out someplace and serve. We don't have to sit here and puff him up, build him up. God doesn't need me. But if he'll let me serve, I will. I'm not the world's, the universe's gift to God. We need to trust he'll make it clear. If you're sincerely looking for God's will in your life, I believe the Lord will make it clear one way or another. He doesn't always do the same way. Letter G, don't move until the Lord makes it clear. If you're sincerely looking, he will make it clear. Number H, double check with the word of God as to what is within God's will and what is not. Okay, just because some people have said, well, I really think God wants me to do this. All right, does it line up with God's word? Or you're going to have to compromise the truth to do that. If you've got to compromise the truth to do what you think is God's will, it's not God's will. You got real quiet right there. Now, sometimes there's, you know, it's kind of indifferent, to be honest with you. And I would go back to we were able to try to make it clear if that's what I want. But the fact is, I always double check with the Word of God as to what is within God's will and what is not. Now, I'm not going to find that. I've got two different, got two good churches that seem to be doing what they're supposed to do. They're staying with the right Bible. They're soul winners, so forth, so on. There's really nothing wrong with either one of them. Then I'm going to wait for the Lord to give me a good, clear leading, and I'm going to follow that. However, I know we're online here, but I get an offer from an independent Baptist church, and they're going to offer me $20,000 a year as the preacher. Talk about 20 years ago here. $20,000 a year as a preacher. And my other offer is to work for a mainline denomination that's not sure what Bible to use and not sure about the virgin birth and not sure about that, but they're going to pay me $60,000. You still get to be a preacher. Maybe you can win some of those folks to Christ. As far as I'm concerned, it's not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's the Bible says. So, if I have to make a decision, if it's time to make a decision, or he hasn't led me one way or the other, I stay where I am, or I take the one that paid $20,000, but they stand for truth. You see what I'm saying? Check with the Word of God. You got to listen. You've got a. I've got a choice between that and a church that wants that's willing to accept homosexuals as members. Anybody can come here, but you're not a member just because you come. But anybody can come here. A homosexual can come here, a transgender can come here, whatever they want, they can all come. I'm still going to preach what I preach, but they all can come. We're going to preach truth. But let's say that the church is established and they think it's okay to accept members who are homosexual. Well, if that was the case, I would have to say to those folks, you realize that's wrong, and here it is because blah, 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 blah. And they say, well, no, that's what we're going to do, and that's where we're going to stick. Well, thank you very much, but I'm no longer a candidate here. You see what I'm saying? The Word of God should dictate where we stand. Now, let me give you some new information. Number two. We've just heard these principles. So number two, our example, Paul was sensitive to the Spirit of God, was yielded to the will of God, and was obedient to the Word of God. Now, that's a mouthful, but that is so necessary. You want to know the will of God. You want to know what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. And there's an obvious choice that seems like it from the natural common sense, the natural man's common sense. This should be the answer. But you know what? There's a spiritual man's common sense. Now, we can be saved and still be living in the flesh. He says, if you're of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. In fact, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the works of the flesh. Now, how do you walk in the Spirit? You walk by the Word of God. You surrender yourself to the Word of God. So let me go back here. First of all, Paul was sensitive to the Spirit of God. That means he's got his radar up. You could say it this way, as Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That phrase literally means, like a little dog, somebody walks on your porch, and the ears go up, he's listening. He's got his radar on. And you know what? We can be Christians, and we can come and sit in the pews, and radar's turned off. Or you can come and sit in the pews and say, there's going to be something in here somewhere, because I know God wants me to learn something, so I'm going to come in, I'm going to get something. It may not be even the main point of the message. It may be something that came through the hymn we just sang. It might have been in the reading. Who knows? It could have been something that was said during the announcement. But that's what I need. You know, listen, I preach a topic. But we got close to 80 folks in here tonight. I'm not going to hit everything that every single person needs tonight. But the Holy Spirit knows what we need. How many times have you heard me pray? Lord, give us each what we need here this evening. And if we got our ears on, I think the Holy Spirit will show us. If you really want to know, let's say it from the other direction. There are some people who want to feel like they're in the will of God, but they really don't want to know what God says. They really don't want to know what he's saying because they've already got a plan. They've already got their heart set on this person or that person to get married to. They already got their heart set on this job or their heart on this college or whatever it was. I remember Hannah, my younger daughter. She and her husband serve in Cleveland Baptist Temple. He's an assistant administrator out there, and she's on staff there. She's teaching. And when she graduated from high school, she had it in her mind that there was a certain college she was going to go to. Now, it's a good college. It was a good college. I knew the man who put the college together. He's a good man. He had been here to preach. But just to make it right, we took a trip. Janet and Hannah and I don't remember, I think maybe Nathan went with us. I can't remember this time. And we went to visit the college. And there were certain things about the college, the way the program was. Hannah wanted to be an educator. She wanted to be a teacher. She's wanted to be a teacher ever since she was a little kid. And she is a teacher. And she just has it with her. And she wanted to go and they were going to let them work in the classrooms in the Christian school that was right there associated with that church where the college was. And she was all excited about this. And it so helped me. We walked in. It was a Wednesday night. We walked into the church service for the Wednesday night service. And then she was going to visit the college on Thursday and Friday. And I wasn't making the decision. It wasn't a bad decision. If that's where she wanted to go to college, that's fine. There's nothing really wrong with it. But I walked in and I thought, something just doesn't feel right. I don't know why. She told me on the way home. She was very perky, you know how Hannah is. She was very, very perky, very friendly, and very upbeat. And we got in the car. And she had talked to the people who were that part of that college at the Sora conference. She knew them. She just felt very comfortable with them. Just thought this is going to be great. And we were driving home, and I said, "Well, what do you think?" "Well," I said, "I don't know. I walked in, and it just didn't feel right. It just did not feel right. I don't know why. I'm not sure what was really wrong with it. It just didn't feel right." I said, "Well, all right." Now, the crazy thing was, she said, "Well, my only other choice that I really feel comfortable with is to go out to the West Coast." She knew Dr. Chapel and Miss Terry, and we had met before and so forth. And of course, the college is always there at the SOAR conference, and Dr. Rasmussen would schmooze her to come in, and the other folks. There was an older gentleman. I'm forgetting now what his name was. Older gentleman's wife would always come. He passed away. I can't remember now. What? No. Well, he was. Yeah, he would come too. He would come too. But anyway, she said, "Well, I guess I'll go to the West Coast." She had never even been there. She got on a plane and went, because that's where she found her husband, and everything worked out. I don't know, but I'm just telling you, God made it clear that this was not what they wanted to do. We need to be sensitive. I don't know how he's going to speak to you. Everybody's different. You know the song, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." You say, "Well, you tell me that you're the only person that's ever had a good relationship with God." No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying your relationship with God is going to be special. It's not like anybody else's. I've got four kids. I've got a different relationship with all four kids. They're just different. And God knows us. And he deals with us, with who we are. And we need to be sensitive. Not only was he sensitive to the Spirit, he was yielded to the will of God. Some people say, "Well, I know what God wants me to do," and they're deep in their heart, but they try to avoid it. They try to convince yourself, "Well, no, that's probably not right. What I really want," and we try to convince ourselves that what we want is really what God wants. And then finally he says, obedient to the word of God. And that goes back to what I just said before. Check what you think God is leading you to do. Check with the word of God and make sure it all lines up. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's no longer a choice. It's no longer an option. Too many people sometimes say, "Well, it's the least of two evils. I don't need any evil." If all you got are evil, well, then maybe you don't have a choice yet. Maybe God hasn't given you the option you're supposed to take yet. You say, "Well, you don't really live like that." I do. I do. Listen, I felt like I was supposed to take a church when I was 40 years old. I had already been 43 for about 6 months by the time I came here. 4 or 5 months. It had been 3 years. And there were some other things I could have done, but it just wasn't right. If you're sensitive and yielded and obedient. Look at verse 10. "And after he had seen the vision, immediately." It means directly. Do not pass go. Do not collect $500. Immediately we endeavored. And that word endeavor gives you the idea that he plotted plans. He said, we went ahead and started making plans. We started making arrangements. We started doing what it took to be necessary to make the trip to Macedonia. As soon as we found out, as soon as it was clear to us, don't wait. Once it's clear, do it. If he's telling you to do it, now do it. Don't hold on. Now, if he's saying, "All right, in a year I want you to do so and so," well, that's fine. Then wait for a year. But God will make it clear if you want him to. And this is, watch, "assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now that's interesting. Surely gathering means clearly coming to the conclusion. They said everything put together there. They had the idea that we can't go north, we can't go south. We went west, and then God said, I want you to go further west. And apparently maybe some other things in there made it very, he put all those pieces together and confirmed that this is what he was supposed to do. Now, I told you again last week, when I finally decided, when it looked like we were going to come up here, Nathan, nine years old, sitting in the back of the car going home from here, he said, Daddy, when we were at that church in New Jersey, I felt like a visitor. But when I'm up here at Dover Bible, was what it was at that time, he said, I just feel like we're our church, feel at home. And the next day, my daughter, I'd asked the Lord to speak to their hearts. And Esther, sitting at the lunch table, the little socialite with all her friends at the school and the church and everything. She had grown up there entirely. She said, Daddy, you need to go up there and be their preacher. I said, well, you're going to leave all your friends. I know, but so-and-so's already moved away, and this one's moved away. I think you're supposed to go up there and get and be their preacher. Well, after I actually was voted in here, the next day, I felt like I better tell my dad that I've taken a church. He didn't even know I was looking. And he was, like I said, we don't leave the town. But I had asked the Lord to speak to their hearts. And so I called my mom. It was that next Monday evening, I called the house. I said, hey, my mom picked up the phone. I said, hey, is Dad around? No, he's out giving out a contract. He was still selling real estate at that time. And he said, no, he's out giving. I said, okay, well, that's all right. I'll give him a call later. No problem. And I wanted to tell them both at the same time. I didn't want to tell, how it was. It was not unusual for me to call Dad and ask him a plumbing question or a car repair question or whatever it was, And I hate to say it, my mom's a smart lady, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense for me to weed that through her to get to my dad, because she wasn't going to be able to tell him what I was looking for, and, this wasn't going to happen. So I might as well tell Dad myself. So it wasn't unusual for me to do that. But from that conversation, he got home about 10:30 that night. My mom said that, hey, Sterl called, and he wanted to talk. From that, my dad decided, in his heart, he said, he's taking a church and leaving us, isn't he? He's taking a church. He's leaving us. I said nothing there. The Lord was working. My mom said he paced the floor all night. He said, I'm coming up on 70 years old. He said, I can't believe he's going to leave us now. I just can't believe this. Like I said, waltzers don't leave. She said, he just paced all night. He rolled around in the bed and this and that and thing, and he was up and down all night. Well, I got to the church the next day, next morning, and there was a phone message on my phone. And I picked it up. It was my dad. And he said, well, I'm over here at the office if you want to talk. In fact, he said it this way, I'm over the office if you want to talk. I felt like I was a 10-year-old boy again. And his office was, not hardly a quarter of a mile from our church. And he's over there. What am I going to do? But I wanted to tell him and my mom at the same time, but I didn't, what are you going to do? So I thought, I better go tell him before he has a heart attack. And so I walk in the door, and he was talking to the secretary at the desk there, and the door came open, and I walked in, and he turned around and looked at me. Man, I know my dad. His blood pressure was this high. His face was all red. He was just, I'm sure, I bet you his blood pressure was 170. I bet it was, if not more. And he looked at me, and again, all I said was, hey, is Pop home? No, okay, I'll call him later. That's all I said! And I hadn't even let, I always said, I'm not going to take a church. No one's going to want me to be their pastor. Don't worry about that. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to stay right here. And I always said that until the last year or two. I hadn't really said anything because I didn't want to tell him. But anyway, he says, well, I'm in my office. Let's find out what's going on. Man, I felt like I was going to the principal's office. He said, sit down. I'm 43 years old. And he says, all right, what's up? And I said, well, I preached at a church in Florida, but I'm not supposed to be there. And I said, and I preached at a church in Jersey, but I'm not supposed to be there. Now, I didn't even know whether he knew where Dover was. So what I said was, but there's a church up in York that wants me to be their pastor. He said, York, Pennsylvania? I said, yeah. Well, tell me where it is. I said, well, actually, it's a little town called Dover. He had buddies all over this place in his car club from Dover. The Doanes lived right down here in Shiloh, off the Water Tower Road there, just almost before you get to 30. And Leon Worley, some of you may know him, he was in the area here. And Dick Deerdorf, who owned the garage down here in the middle of town, just outside of town, Deerdorf, he knew them too. And Pfizer Funeral Home over in East Berlin, that was one of his buddies. And just there was a place, so he had been up here, he knew where this place was. And he says, well, how big is the church? I said, well, it's about 25 to 30 people. He said, well, can they pay you? I said, no. We've made a deal that if there's anything left at the end of the month, they pay me. If there isn't, they pay the bills for the church first, and they pay, and then they will wait till next month. Now, I'll tell you what Sterling Walsh Sr. would have done. Well, you're only about an hour away. Why don't you see how it goes? Now, tell Pastor Norris Belcher, never open door, not to give your job away yet. There's people who commute that far every day. So you just do that for 2 or 3 months and see what happens. And if it works out, well, then, you know, then go on up. If not, I'm sure Dr. Belcher would love to have you stay. Now, that's what Sterling Walsh Sr. would have said. That's not what my dad said. In 45 minutes, he went from, ah, to he walked out to his secretary and he said, get some comps on my son's house. We got to get it sold. And he had his Pennsylvania real estate license, since they're so close to the line. He says, get us some listings up in Dover. We're going to find this boy a house. Unheard of. If my God, my dad is a wonderful man, but family, you stay where you are. But God worked it all out. He made it clear. Let her be up there. Live sensitive, yielded, and obedient to the word of God. Now, I said that Paul was sensitive, yielded, and obedient. That's true. We have to live that way. If you want to make sure that your life is being led by the Holy Spirit, you don't put your antenna down. You keep the antenna up all the time. I mean, I could have been sitting in that ministry down the open door with my antenna down. And I may still have been there. In fact, if Dr. Belcher had his way, I would still be there. And it's not wrong for me to have stayed there. But the fact is, we had somebody not too long ago that passed away. And I have a little book. I've been perfect with it, but I got a little book of the people, the hundreds of people that I've led to the Lord since I've been in Dover. And I came down there. There they are. 2003 was somebody that I had led to the Lord. I mean, the month after I got here. 1 month after I got here. There they are, right there. You know, all rushed back, sitting in their living room. The conversation. I've led more folks to the Lord here than I did down in Westminster, being a music director. I asked the Lord. I said, "Tell you know, there's 9 pastors at Open Door at that time when I left." I said, "There's probably some church that doesn't have anybody, and I hope I'm better than nothing." I could have stayed there very easily. But the Lord had, I'd put my antenna up and I kept it up. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm saying, when I do that, by the way, what I'm saying is, if I can do it, you can do it. Sterling Walsh is nobody special. He's nobody special. None. And if God will talk to me, and when I say talk, I don't know, he leads me, he made it as clear as it can be, though I know it's just as real, then he can do it to you. So we got to live sensitive, live yielded, because sometimes he's going to tell you to do something you don't think makes sense. And you got to be obedient. You're going to live obedient to the Word of God. And you say, well, the fact is, I like this choice better, but the Word of God says, no, there's a compromise in there. Yeah, but everything else sounds so much better over here. And it says, no. And people say, well, how do you know? How do you know God's leading you? Are you surrendered? And are you willing to learn the will of the Word of God so that you can find out whether you're in the will of God? I think sometimes people want God just to smack them. And sometimes he does smack us flat on our backs, so we have no place to look but up. But that you don't have to wait for that. Let me give you number three, and well, then I'll be where I thought we were going to end up last week. Number three, God knows best. The title of this thing was Following the Spirit Over the Obvious. Well, the obvious is this. The common sense is for me to do this. The common sense is I should take the job that pays better. The common sense is I ought to do this. The common sense is this. Well, hey, I can get a lot of overtime on this one. I got to work on Sunday, but I can get a lot of overtime at this place. Obviously, that's better, right? No, it's not obviously better. In fact, it's obviously not as good. So by going to Macedonia directly, watch this. Think of all the cities and the souls Paul passed by. If you look at the map and watch where he was and how he has to do to go over to Troas, then over to Macedonia. Listen, he went a long way. And think of all the people he didn't stop to talk to. I mean, there's a few he might have run to on the way up the road. But he went, it says immediately they got things together to go to Macedonia. Well, look at all these people that we're passing right by. But God had told him to do it. I've told you this story before. When I decided to go out to college and get my degree to be a pastor, I had a family member come to me in my office and told me that they had had a dream and that I was not supposed to go to college, that I was supposed to stay right there. And they proceeded to call me all kinds of names. It's not very nice that I'm not going to pronounce here. And then they knew that I cared about souls, and so they said, your own father's not saved yet. How can you go out and save the world when your own father's not saved? I'm thinking, well, if you want to get him saved, you lead him to the Lord. I had already given him a letter. I had done what I could. I really had. I talked to him, and so I'm getting all that story. They said, obviously, it's wrong for you to do that. No. I knew what God had called me. In fact, that was a confirmation. Because who's fighting you? Devil. And you could tell by the Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wasn't telling her to use unkind words to straighten me up. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, don't talk that way. So I knew she wasn't being led by the Spirit. Somebody else was leading her. So I'm not listening to that. In fact, apparently somebody's trying to keep me from going. You say, well, you went in spite. No, I didn't go in spite. But she made it clear. In fact, I realized, again, the old devil was fighting. Now, I do that because, well, what about all these people you missed out on? They're not all saved yet. I know, but God told me to do this. Acts chapter 8. Philip is doing having a revival in Samaria, of all places. And they're accepting the Lord, and things are going great. And God says, well, you need to go out to the desert. I want you to go. I'm going to the desert for somebody out there. Well, I need you to go out in the desert. And that's where he ran into the Ethiopian eunuch. And we got the story in Acts chapter 8. Why would he pick up and leave a great revival to go out there? I don't know. But that's what God clearly made it do. And you know what? As soon as he led the guy to the Lord, boom, he was gone. The Lord picked him up and took him someplace else. Literally. Well, what about all the people here? Has Paul gone mad? Think of all the people he seemed to be passing over to go to Macedonia. And I'm sure there were some in his entourage that questioned Paul's leadership, at least for a while. There were many metropolitan areas that they passed by, the obvious choices for concentration evangelism. But God said no. Letter B, those that may not have sensed the calling specifically on their heart may have doubted Paul's directions. But see, God had spoken to Paul. He's the leader, and so they need to go. I'm sure they doubted it. For some, it may have appeared that Paul refused to go the obvious way. That is, the work with the ones that are right there in front of him. What's his problem? These folks need the gospel. We had a great response with these folks before. We should just continue on in this area. Letter C. Paul and his team are being sent to the enemy. This is Macedonia. The Greeks. You know, Alexander the Great, the Macedonia. But the Greeks were dogs to the Jews. And the Romans are the oppressors. What? Paul wants to take us to Rome? He's heading that direction. Next thing we're doing, we'll be at Rome. Well, that's ridiculous. These heathen won't want to hear the gospel. Shouldn't we be taking the gospel to our own people, the Jews, first? But God had made it clear. Letter D. Being led of the Spirit of God may possibly put you in direct opposition to the general consensus of the people. When I left the public school, didn't know where I was going, thought I'd go to college, wasn't sure what it was going to be. When I left them, I had good people, assistant pastors, telling me that I was foolish. As the Lord's leading me, no, the Lord's not leading you there. Where are you going? I said, I don't know yet. Well, then the Lord's not leading you. But I said, if to stay there, I'm compromising. Well, the Lord's not leading you out. Well, he doesn't lead me to stay in sin. Sometimes we are led and others have not been given that same assurance by the Holy Spirit that what you're doing is best. And so what do? Sometimes God doesn't do the obvious. And we need to trust the leadership to do things on God's timing. Things don't always go as we foresee. We're going to stop right there at this point. Now, let me just clarify something here. You have got to be sensitive, and you have got to lay out what you think the Lord wants you to do and compare it to the Word of God. You say, well, I'm not sure where I can compare it. Well, then maybe you need to get some counsel. Maybe somebody else knows some things, and they may confirm it, or they actually may oppose what it is that you're thinking. But look from the Word of God. Now, you make the decision, but know the will of God and make the decision based on the Word and the will of God. And you can't go wrong. Well, you say, well, Paul lost his head. Yep. He fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. And there's laid up in heaven a crown of righteousness.